Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging into something massive, a crisis impacting nearly a billion people worldwide.
That's right, about one in every eight of us.
Exactly.
Right.
And the economic toll is projected at, what, $6 trillion annually by 2030? Just incredible.
It really is.
So the real insight here isn't just the scale, though that's staggering. It's how deeply this whole global mental health crisis is, like, woven into our modern lives.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission today is to sort of unpack its origins, the many facets, and importantly, look at the path forward towards, hopefully, a more resilient future for everyone.
That's a great way to frame it. It's urgent, it's complex, it's not just health, it's economic, it's social. And interestingly, we'll touch on technology's role, how it's both, well, part of the problem and maybe part of the solution.
Yeah, that paradox. Okay, so quantifying this, I read that mental disorders account for 1 in every 6 years lived with disability globally.
That's correct. One in six. It's a huge loss of human potential.
So what's driving this acceleration, especially recently?
Well, look, the crisis definitely predates 2020, but the COVID-19 pandemic, that was a massive global accelerant.
Right. It poured fuel on the fire.
Exactly. It didn't start it, but pushed it into overdrive. We saw huge surges, like 28% increase in depression, 26% in anxiety in just that first year.
Wow.
And crucially, it doesn't hit everyone equally. Young people, particularly 18 to 25, they have the highest prevalence rates. And LGBTQ+ communities, they're more than twice as likely to experience a mental health condition. It's heart-bracing, really. 1 in 8 young adults aged 18, 24 in that group attempted suicide.
That's just devastating. So it's clearly not just an individual thing then. What are these broader societal forces you mentioned? How do they connect?
That's key. We talk about social determinants, these external factors. Think about poverty. It's this vicious cycle, right?
Hmm.
The stress of financial instability can really worsen mental health. And then mental illness makes it incredibly hard to find work, keep a job, escape that poverty. It feeds itself.
And it's not just poverty or things we've known about for years, is it? There are these new pressures, like eco-anxiety.
Absolutely. Tied directly to the climate crisis. There was a survey, I think, in Canada showing 78% of young people felt it affected their mental health.
78%. And the workplace, too. You hear so much about burnout.
Oh, definitely. The modern workplace can be a real pressure cooker. Some stats say 75% of employees report burnout. And globally, we're losing something like $1 trillion annually just to depression and anxiety impacting work.
Okay, so this brings us nicely, or maybe not so nicely, to technology, the paradox you mentioned.
Right, the double-edged sword.
How is it both driving distress and potentially offering solutions?
Okay, so on the one hand, there are measurable neurobiological impacts from screen time.
You mean actual physical changes?
Yes. Some studies link higher usage to, believe it or not, a thinning of the cerebral cortex that's key for complex thought. And our devices, our apps, they're often designed to manipulate dopamine, our reward system.
Makes us hooked.
Exactly. It can lead to desensitization, plus the blue light. It suppresses melatonin, which messes up our sleep. And poor sleep is a major direct contributor to depression and anxiety. Huge link.
And the psychological side, things like social media?
Yeah, that's significant too. You have upward social comparison, always seeing curated perfect lives, and FOMO, the fear of missing out, both clearly linked to more depression, more anxiety.
And what about specific conditions,
mm-hmm.
like eating disorders?
Well, think about all the thinspiration or fitspiration content online. It's saturated social media. Nearly half of teens, like 13, 17, say it makes them feel worse about their body image.
That's terrible.
And for other conditions, online echo chambers can unfortunately validate delusions if someone is experiencing psychosis. And that sleep disruption we mentioned, a potent trigger for manic episodes and bipolar disorder.
So the scale is immense, the drivers are complex, but what about the response?
Ugh, that's where it gets, frankly, concerning. Despite the scale, the global response is often called critically insufficient. There's a massive funding gap, around $200 billion annually. Governments, on average, spend just 2% of their health budgets on mental health.
Only 2%.
Just 2%. And that leads to this staggering treatment gap. In some countries, up to 90% of people with severe conditions get no care, none.
90%. So how do we even begin to fix this? What are the paths forward?
Well, there is a positive shift happening. We're moving away from old-style institutions towards more humane, more cost-effective, community-based care. That's vital.
Okay, that's helpful.
And this is where technology, despite its downsides, offers real innovation. Telehealth has exploded, obviously, but also things like digital therapeutics, DTX.
DTX?
Yeah, they're essentially software programs delivering evidence-based therapy, like Sleepio for insomnia right on your phone. Plus, we're seeing AI and even VR being used in diagnosis and treatment. Some really promising stuff.
Fascinating. Using the tool that causes some problems to potentially solve others.
Precisely. But, and this is crucial, the success of all this tech hinges on robust ethical governance.
Right. Trust, privacy, equity.
Absolutely. Those have to be central. Otherwise, the tech could actually worsen disparities.
So pulling this all together, what does this mean for you listening? Well, fundamentally, mental illness is treatable. Investing in mental health isn't just, you know, the right thing to do. It's a strategic imperative for society.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the final thought to leave you with is this. As we keep advancing technologically, how do we consciously ensure these tools amplify empathy and access for everyone? How do we make sure they don't just deepen the divides or erode trust as we strive for a truly mentally healthier future?